You know what? When we go to heaven, I think this is the way that we are going to sing praise Him. It's going to be the gathering of many nations that we are going to sing His praise and for the way that He has saved us on the cross. Well, my name is Sam Ko, and I'm a Korean by race. That I was born in Korea back in, no, I shouldn't have said my age, long time ago, back in 1950-something. So I'm not getting younger. Korean by race, and I went to Canada 1975, when I was 16 or 17. That I'm a Canadian by choice, Korean by race, and Canadian by choice. Then I used to do a lot of ministry in America. So I used to call myself, I'm an American by place. But now I'm back in Korea ministering at the church called the Sarang Church. But what is more important for you and I to remember is that, yes, it's good to be a Scottish. It's good to be someone from Albania, Finland, wherever you came from, America. Whether we are Koreans or Canadians or Albanian, what is more important for you and I to remember is that we are Christians by grace. Amen to that? We are Christians by grace. And I like to add one more thing. We are global by serving the Lord. You see, we are global. I love this place very much. That as one of the sisters prayed, it reminds me of David's prayer in Psalm 27, I think. This is what David said. One thing I ask of you is to dwell in your house. It's to dwell in your house. Wherever God is, that's where the church is. I want to dwell in your house. Isn't it exciting to be in His presence? It's a lot better than watching football. You see? Oh, I love to dwell in your house. And He said, I want to enjoy your beauty for the rest of my life. And that's the reason that you and I have gathered here tonight, in the presence of God, to sing His praise and to make love confession to Him, that how much we love you. Thanking God for what He has done for us on the cross. I think this is what worship is all about. I'm really glad that you came out tonight, because I want to talk something about how to have a happy life. Why it could be said, are you stressed out? And I want to share from the scripture, from the book called Philippians. Which is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I want us to read from verse 6, Philippians chapter 4. Let me read from verse 5. By the way, when Paul, who is the writer, the author of this book, was writing this book, he was having a heck of a time that he was imprisoned, waiting to be executed. So, you know, the kind of struggle that he was going through. So he was not, I bet, from human standpoint of view, he was not having a good time at all in prison. He was imprisoned. Yet, this is what it says in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Listen, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. You see, in Philippians chapter 4, Paul goes back to his theme about being happy in life. It says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Is it possible to be continually joyful? Are you happy? You know what? I found out that most people really don't enjoy life. They just endure it. Isn't it true? Most people really don't enjoy life. They just endure it. Their lives are filled with anxiety and stress and pressure. And because of that, they have very, very little joy. Now, this evening, I want us to look at a strategy for dealing with stress. And Paul gives us four very simple yet profound statements on how to manage stress in your life. That's what I'm saying. I'm glad that many of you came out tonight. All right? And I will give you four principles out of this passage how to deal with our everyday stress, how to have this joyful life, how to be happy in life. Now, there are four steps out of this passage. Step number one. Okay, I want us to going back to our elementary time that I'm asking you to repeat after me. Can you do that? All right. This is step one. I want you to repeat after me. Worry about nothing. Okay, one more time. Worry about nothing. You see? That's what he says in verse 6. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Why? Worry. Which happens to be the name of my first dog. When I was living in Korea, I don't know why we named Worry. We had some Americans stationed, you know, because I was born right after the Korean War, and I had a little dog. And I heard one of the American soldiers, they were calling our dog Worry. So we named him Worry, okay? But you know what? Worry is a killjoy, and it is a source of stress. And you know what? We tended to expect the worst in life. You know, someone calls this generation the age of anxiety. You know, these are micro worries that are personal, that, you know, you and I have every day. What is worry? To me, worry is assuming responsibility that God never intended for us to have. In other words, worry is playing God, trying to control the uncontrollable. There's a guy who has done studies on our worries, and he has discovered that 40% of our worries never happen. And 30% of our worries concern the past. And 12% of our worries are needless worries about your health. Oh, I gotta go to the doctor. You see? 10% of our worries are insignificant concerns. And only 8% of our worries are really legitimate concerns. So what I'm trying to say is worry is worthless. Why? Because it cannot change the past or it cannot control the future. Let me repeat that. Worry cannot change the past or it cannot control the future. Worry only messes you up right now. And it is an incredible waste of energy. It is a waste of creativity. You know, when we worry about things, you know what happened? Worry gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Agree with me? Worry gets bigger and bigger. And we are very, very creative about worry. Isn't it true? We are very, very creative about worry. However, this is what Bible says. Bible says, do not worry about anything. You know what? I believe this is probably the hardest command to obey. It sounds very easy, but it is. I think it could be the hardest command to worry. You know what? If you look at the thing called concordance or the Bible dictionaries kind of stuff, there are 360 times in the Bible the word worry is mentioned. Why 365 times? I don't know. Maybe because, you know, as soon as we open our eyes in the morning, we begin to worry. That's why I think the Bible commands us not to worry 365 times. I believe some people are born worriers, and they have ability to find problem in every single situation. They are really good at that. You know, they look at the negative, they look at the bad. You know what? However, worry is not natural. It is something you learn. You have to practice to get good at it. However, if it is learned, it can also be unlearned. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. So the lesson that you and I need to remember with the subject of worry is this. In order to relieve stress in your life, live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. So this is what Jesus and Paul, they were saying. When Paul wrote Philippians, as I said in the beginning, he was in prison, waiting to be executed by Nero. How to have happy life? Worry about nothing. That is the first step. Now, let me introduce you the second step as to how to get rid of stress in our lives. Step number two. I want you to repeat after me once again. Okay, maybe after these four steps, I'm going to give you a little quiz, okay, to recite all we have learned. What is the first step? Worry about? Nothing. Okay, this is the second step. I want you to repeat after me. Pray about everything. Okay, one more time. Pray about everything. You see, when God tells you to get rid of something, He always has something superior. He always replaces a negative with a positive. That's what He says in verse 6. He goes on to say, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This is what Paul is saying. Don't panic. Instead, pray. If you stopped worrying, realize how much free time you'd have. It would create a great vacuum. So pray during that time. If you have time to worry about, you have time to pray about. Oh, I like that. If you have time to worry about, you have time to pray about. If those who are people who say, I don't have time to pray, would spend their time praying instead of worrying, they would have a whole lot less to worry about. I think that is the lesson that Paul is trying to say. And he says, in everything. I think this is a very important phrase. In everything. You know, some people think that God is only interested in you praying about religious matters. Isn't it the way that many Christians think? But that's not the way that God is. It says God is interested in everything in your life. You don't have your prayers doesn't have to be big. Your prayer doesn't have to be religious. See, your prayer doesn't have to be something special. He says in everything. And he says petition. Petition is a specific, detailed request. So when you pray to God, get specific with God. Tell him exactly what you want. Tell him exactly what you need. You know, most people pray too vague, too general. God, please bless my life. Isn't that the way that we usually pray? Bless my life. What is a blessing? Sometimes blessings are problems, you see. So don't pray general. Don't pray vague prayers. But when you pray, be specific. God, I am under stress. I am tense. I'm nervous. Be specific about it. If you look at the Bible called the Phillips Translation, this is how it translates. When you pray, tell God every detail of your needs. You know what? If it is big enough to worry about, it is big enough to pray about. You know, speaking of my ministry in Wales, in a way, Korean churches are, we owe big time to the churches in Wales because, as many of you already know, it is the Wales church who sent the first missionary to Korea. Did you know that? When? Back in 1866, there was a gentleman whose name was Robert Germain Thomas. He was sent from this town, this community from Wales, 1866, and took him many months to reach out to one of the shores in Korea, in northern part of Korea, in North Korea. But you know what happened? As soon as he put his first foot on the Korean soil. You know, at that time, Korea was not a Christian country. It was helpless. It was hopeless country. And they did not understand why he came, and they did not understand the way that he was behaving. So as soon as his first foot was on the Korean soil, Korean soldier beheaded him right at the site. So while he was dying, he had a Bible in his hands. He was calling out, Yasso, Yasso, because he was not able to pronounce the name of Jesus in Korean properly, which is Yesu, Yesu. But he overheard from someone that it is Yasso, Yasso. That was the way that he was dying. 1866. God has blessed Korean churches abundantly, incredibly, ever since. So, where Korean church is right now, I think is in many different ways, we are indebted to the churches in Wales. To make a long story short, because that was the way that God was leading us, leading our church, to do something for the churches in Wales, we have decided to become a gospel partner with the school in Bridgend called the West. And it took about 5 years to make everything possible. That officially, in February of 2011, we have become gospel partners. And I was in the middle of negotiations for the two previous years, and it was not that easy. So as soon as they have decided to become partners, I told those two parties, you know, Sarang Church and the people from West, my job is done. I have done a good job. Okay, I'm out of here because I know what it takes to continue to carry out ministry in Wales. But when I said that, those two parties, representatives from West and Sarang, came to me. They said, Sam, if you are not in it, we are not going to sign the gospel partnership agreement. So God, in a way, I began to pray for the next 2 or 3 days. God, you know, if I start working for West, it's going to be, you know, too much trouble for me because I know what kind of needs I need to meet on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, and it was not easy. But more I prayed about West, the school in Bridgend, God's been telling me that Europe and Wales could be the last mission frontier. It used to be a Christian country big time. It is the place where the great revival broke out in 1904. But the churches and Christian churches are not strong enough. It is about time for you and for Sarang Church to do something. So I had no choice but to say yes to the call that I began to serve at West. But last year around this time, and I was doing okay job, but around this time, I met a very, very strange guy. I mean, he looks somewhat very awkward to me. His name sounds very awkward, too. His name is Die Hanky. I mean, as he said, we met at... I'm sorry to calling you awkward, but you know, you don't look normal anyway, huh? Very weird, but that's okay. You're my brother, and we began to at Highfield Church. And by accident, though, I was having a talk with Peter Baker, and all of a sudden, the strange guy, you know, that came into our office where I was having a conversation with Peter and began to talk about, you know, the kind of ministry that he was doing in the valley. I didn't have any clue as to, you know, what those valleys mean. And he went on to talk about there are 14 valleys in Wales, and I'm the first one, you know, who was trying to do ministry in the valley and all that. You know what? I mean, we didn't have much time to engage in conversation at the time. It could have been less than, 15 minutes and or so. While I was listening, without any exaggeration, while I was listening to his presentation about the ministry in valleys, I felt as if the Holy Spirit struck me with 1,000 volts. I used to have very, when I first went to Korea, I had lots of hair. And I could be the very first Korean pastor having this spike hair. I mean, I've lost a lot of hair that now I have so-called the David Beckham style, you know, to hide. Even though I'm not as handsome as David Beckham. And that used to be called the 1,000 voltage hairstyle. Anyway, as if while I was listening to his presentation, I felt that Holy Spirit is convicting and does strike me with something that I never realized in the past. So I began to pray. I began to pray about the ministry in the valleys. And one year later, you know, what's going to happen this coming Wednesday, that we are going to have a church planting Thanksgiving service, and we are going to plant a church like this, it's going to be small, in
the valley called Neith. So this is my prayer that, oh God, please, please help us to plant at least one church in one valley. So that in 1 year or 2 years of time from now on, all the valleys, 12 valleys, will be able to praise God, having very solid Bible, believing Christ-centered churches. Now, why am I saying what I'm saying? I was talking about this, you know, prayer about everything issue, that it was not easy for me to be the chairman of West, even though the school is not that big. You know, it cost a lot of money to run it. I don't know whether it is okay for me to share that. I mean, that's what, you know, most of, you know, the schools are struggling with anyway. Even for this year, even for planting this church in Neath, we needed to come up with some, you know, financial support that I made a special request to the church. Our church is rather a large church in Korea. I thought they are going to say yes, but we are in the middle of you know, a new church building project, which cost them a lot of money. So when I made this request to the church, all our budget have been cut, that I was not able to get not even one penny from the church. But I was keep praying to God. God, we need to plant this church in Neath. And I know for sure that this is what you are asking us to do. And we have no financial means to support that. About 2 months ago, I met one of the Christian CEO in Seoul, Korea. And she's a very devoted Christian lady. And I told her that God gave us this strong vision to plant a church in it. And she said, even though our company looks, you know, big enough, Sam, I'm sorry that we don't have any cash. But we do have a lot of merchandise in our warehouse. Would you like to take some of those merchandise to support this Neath Valley project? I said, that's fine. I mean, you know, hopefully we'll be able to sell those merchandise to the people that we can get some money out of it. And she gave us like 200,000 pounds worth merchandise, a lot of bags. And I thought, well, thank you. And I came away thanking her, but I felt that I needed more money to do more things in Wales, to support West and to plant this church in Neath. So I began to pray in specific. I told God, thank you for giving us all this merchandise. But you know what, God? I'm not going to take not even a penny for myself. Everything that we are able to generate some fund out of this, it'll be used for God's kingdom, a ministry in Wales. But in doing so, I need more of it. I need more. I need more bags. I need more bags. That's what I said. Every day, I need more bags. I didn't tell her, though. I need more bags. A couple of weeks ago, I got a call from that lady, that same CEO. You know, Pastor Sam, I've been praying about your ministry in Wales. I thought I should give more bags to you. Do you have enough storage space with you? I said, no problem, no problem. You know, as long as you give us more, I'm more than willing to take more. And she said, I'm more than willing to double it. So when I go back to Korea next week, we are going to have a big-time auction. Big-time auction that, you know, with the money that we are going to earn out of it, we'll be able to do it. So this is what I'm trying to say. When you pray, be specific. See? If it is big enough to worry about, it is big enough to pray about. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Oh Lord, all your worries on him, since he is looking after you." Whatever problems you have, take your problems to the Lord. Pray about everything instead of worrying. There's a saying that goes like this: when man works, man works. But when man prays, guess what? God works. Once again, when man works. But when man prays, God works. So there is no problem that is too big for God's power or too small for God's concern. That is the second step. Okay, what is the first step? Worry about nothing. The second step is pray about everything. The third step, step number three, repeat after me. Thank God for all things. It's very easy to remember, isn't it? Thank God for all things. It says in verse 6, in everything with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. According to Good News, it says, always asking him with a thankful heart. And that is the attitude of gratitude. You know what? The healthiest human emotion is the attitude of gratitude. Having a grateful heart, being thankful. And it is a physical benefit to express the attitude of gratitude. You know what? Ungrateful people, unthankful people are tended to be unhappy people. Nothing ever satisfies them. It is never good enough. They are so-called when-then people. You know what I mean? When this happens, then I will be happy. You see? When such things happen, then I will be happy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are depressed, I want you to make a list of 50 things you can be grateful for. When you are grateful, it gets the focus of your problems and gets the focus on the benefits in your life. You know what? We have so much that we take for granted. We have so much that we take for granted. I just came back from one of the countries in Africa. I saw many people begging for food on the street. At least you and I, we do not worry about what we are going to eat. However, we take so much that we take for granted. So, ladies and gentlemen, develop the attitude of gratitude and watch your stress level in your life goes down, because it gets your eyes off the problem and onto the many things we have to be grateful for. That's why he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. If you want to know how to find God's will, you know, many people think that, well, I have to fast 40 days in order to find God's will. Could be right. But you know what? The best way for you to find God's will in your life is give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, the lesson is there is always something to be grateful for. Okay, that's step number three. The last step. Okay, are you awake? All right, repeat after me. Repeat after me. Think about the right things. One more time. Think about the right things. Okay, what is the first step? Worry about nothing. Second step is? Pray about, oh, you are smart cookies. Okay, pray about everything. Okay, step number three. Thank God for all things. Step number four. Think about
the right things. See? To reduce stress in your life, you must change the way you think. The stress is in yourself, not outside. You know, your mind, my mind is a special gift from God. Your mind is capable of storing over 100 trillion thoughts. It can handle enormous things. You have been given by God the freedom to choose what you think about. That's what he says in verse 8. Finally, brothers, what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So you need to choose what you think about and think about the right things. When you put into our minds, affects our lives. However, many people, even Christians, are totally indiscriminate about what they allow to enter their minds. They are allowing all kinds of trash, garbage, and reading material, and movies, and the songs that are downers. And then they wonder why they are depressed. You know what? What you think determines the way how you feel. And how you feel determines the way how you act. So what is the first thing? The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. So, you and I gotta be careful, you know, for the way that we think. Guard your mind. Keep your mind in the right things. Jerusalem Bible says, fill your mind with those things. Good news. It says, fix your mind on them. So Paul is saying this involves a deliberate, conscious choice. In other words, change the channels of your mind. You know, when a thought comes into your mind, I want you to ask, is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? If it is not, reject it. You know, these eight words are like eight filters. If the thought is not right, true, pure, lovely, etc., don't think about them. Do not allow them to get into your mind because it is going to create stress. So whenever I'm being tempted to think about something that is not right, that is not noble, I try to replace that with the Word of God. That's why it is very, very important for us to memorize. It is important to read the Bible, but sometimes we don't have time to read the Bible. That's why you and I need to store up a lot of the words in our heads. I mean, I'm not bragging about, you know, how many verses that I memorize. Easily, I think I memorize not less than 500. I made a habit of memorizing a lot of verses. For example, when I feel like I'm being lost, I said, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not be in want." You see, whenever I feel like I'm dying, I said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, because the Lord is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." See? Try to memorize a lot of words. So, this is the lesson. Whatever I think about is what I am becoming. Now, we have covered all those four steps. Worry about nothing. Then pray about everything. Thank God for all things. Think about the right things. What is the result? This is what it says in verse 7. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. And his peace will keep your thoughts and your heart quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ
Jesus. You know, there is a promise of guaranteed peace of mind. You know, people are looking everywhere for peace of mind. They try pills, therapy, stress reduction seminars, listen to tapes, books, anything to give just a little peace of mind. However, this is what Paul says. God's peace is a gift to you. It's a gift that cannot be explained, that cannot be duplicated, that cannot be understood. So, in closing, let me challenge you. Let me ask you this question. What gets worried? Finances? The economy? Your health? Your marriage is falling apart? Relationship? Your children? Your career? What makes you anxious? This is what he says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Throw the whole weight of your concern on God, because he considers you his personal concern. Jesus Christ carried your sin on the cross. You know what? The same Jesus, he will carry your stress in the present. Whatever worries you have. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to give it to him. I want you to give it to him. I want you to ask God. I want you to ask Holy Spirit to come and touch you from top to bottom right now. Whatever worries you have, you are heavy burdened. Whatever worries that you have, right now I'm asking you to be able to give everything to him. You know what? There is no problem that is too big for God's power. God is the Almighty God. That there is no problem that is too big for God's power. And there is no problem too small for God's concern. So I'd like to spend some time in prayer. Let's think about what we have learned from the scripture that I don't know what kind of thoughts that you were having when you were entering into this place tonight. I'm sure that all of us have at least one problem, at least one thing to worry about. What is it? I want you to think about it. What is it? Is it your family? Is it your finance? Is your health? Is it a type of substance abuse that you've been struggling with for a long time? What is it? I want you to open your heart right now before God. I want you to give whatever worries that you have, give it to God. See, there is no problem that is too big for God's power. There is no problem too small for God's concern. You know what it is? Maybe you haven't told anyone about your problem, but you know, in the deep side of your heart, you know the problem that you are struggling with. You know what kind of worries that you have? I want you to give it to God right now. In doing so, let me ask, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ, since I'm a Korean by race, we Koreans have a tendency to pray aloud. Okay, we do have many Korean sisters and brothers sitting, and I believe there are many similarities between Korean and Welsh. That maybe some of you are not familiar praying aloud, but you know, in the scripture, even in the scripture, it says that you know, many godly people, they cried out to God. They cried out to God. This time, there are many ways that we can pray, but I want us to really cry it out to God, saying, God, here I am. Please help me. Please help me to give my worries and my burdens to God.
whatever languages you speak, if you are a Korean, I want you to pray in Korean. If you are an Albanian, and I want you to speak in your language from Finland, from America, in English, or in Welsh, I want you to cry out to God. Let's do that. Let's do that for the next 2 or 3 minutes and crying out to God. Shall we? Let's do that.